Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch, I don't know if I've ever been so ready for fall right now. Dude, it's hot out.
It's hot.
Yesterday was blazing hot.
Yeah.
So was this weekend.
Yep.
Dude, next week, they're talking 75, 78, 79.
Hey, as long as it stays hot through the weekend, I'm good.
This weekend's supposed to be hot.
We got the Lake of the Ozarks shootout. And that,
you go to the shootout?
Yeah.
The fast boats? Is it a 1 mile run or a quarter mile run?
They've reduced it to a 3/4 mile track.
Okay.
Because they had a very catastrophic incident at the 1 mile track. They had a turbine powered boat crash.
No, they had a turbine powered boat take off into the air.
Yeah.
Like a fucking rocket ship.
Yeah. And I think it was a little over like 250 miles an hour. And so they've reduced it to a 3/4 mile track. This year they've moved, and it's a straight track. It's basically a drag race. They cross the start line at about 40 miles an hour. And so they get kind of a rolling start.
Yeah.
And then it's whoever can be the fastest at the end of it.
I've always been intrigued, like, about the people that go to those.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I get it. You know, you're going there. It's just a little bit of entertainment while you're floating at the end of summer. Get one last, like, weekend trip in. Is it? I've never been.
Uh-huh.
Is it actually fun?
It's
or
a
is
blast.
Is it just as much fun to fucking go over here to Blue Springs and drink beer and float in the water?
Well, okay.
I can tell you, you won't get syphilis if you go down to the Lake of the Ozarks, but
you might.
You
Blue
might.
Springs. Well, I don't know. Springs. Lake of the Ozarks, they're hitting the news right now for a rare flesh-eating bacteria that's in the water.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. But,
oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty badass because, yeah, it's a big tie-up lake party. There's, I don't know, 5,000 boats all tied up out there. And I'm not exaggerating. Like,
oh, I know.
I mean, the boats are side by side, 2 to 3 rows deep for 3/4 of a mile.
Do you just pull in and say, hey, can I get in there? Or do you just go to the end and you're the next boat?
So that's the crazy part about it. Yes, you kind of go to the end and you're the next boat at the end.
Or do you go early and just park?
It's a mad rush to get out there. And it's a kind of a shit show, like chaos thing, kind of like a doorbuster deal back when, like, Black Friday, like it kind of a chaotic run like that.
Yeah.
Because it's no wake for a long time approaching the course.
So everybody's like trying to not create a wake, but are creating a wake and trying to get away with it.
And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people pushing the boundaries on the no wake thing, but then you all kind of get to where the course is and you start trying to anchor up and tie out. But then you might be tied out with your brother, your buddy. And then here's the line kind of forming next to you. And then all of a sudden the line just like passes you. And now you're tied out in front of the main line. Well, then the security people will come over and see that you're kind of in front of the main line and they'll like make you pull your anchor and move.
Ugh.
Now you've lost your good spot, you know?
Ugh.
And so, like, last year, it was a little bit of a chaotic thing. The line was forming from two directions right at us, and the lines overlapped. And we were on, like, the back half of the overlap, and the security people ran, like, drove by and said, nope, we got to break and tie these together. And, no, of course, nobody wanted to get in the second row. And so the line started doing this really funny bending thing to try to get all the boats in line, and boats were crashing into each other.
I don't,
and like all kinds of stuff.
I don't. What is the draw there? I don't. It sounds like mad chaos.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like I will have had 4 tequilas and be punching someone or getting punched by a big guy.
It's mad chaos until you're in line. Then once you're in line, it's just a big fucking party.
I don't. What if there's just a bunch of fatties next to you tied up on the boat?
Well, that's the risky run with any tie up.
that's not what I want to see.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's not what I want.
It's part of it for sure.
I just don't get the draw, I guess. Are the boys going?
Uh-huh.
Is Grant excited to sit on the boat and watch boats race all day?
No, Grant's excited to sit on the boat and watch what happens on the boats all day.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's a bunch of drunk Midwestern girls with fake boobs all gotcha. Cheering on fast boats. Like, there's Hawaiian Lays and Mardi Gras beads flying around like crazy out there.
Gotcha. Do you want to take the podcast camera?
Maybe.
Do you want to get some content?
I'll say this. Last year, Danielle earned quite a few beads herself. So.
We're good friends. No comment. No comment.
But yeah.
That's it.
That's what we got going on. That's what we got going on this weekend. And
is she going to let you take the kids out of school on Friday?
It's kind of up in the air.
She just told me that she's not pulling her kids out of school anymore.
I know. Because like one minute.
They flunk out if they do not.
I'll say this quietly so she doesn't hear it.
The door. I shut the door.
I think perimenopause is sliding in.
That's not good.
She's like all over. Like last night, in the course of an hour, she was like, no, we're not pulling kids out of school early. Not even for the ski trip. Not nothing. You know, all this stuff. And then like 15 minutes later, it was like, I may drive separate and get down there early so I can get the boat in the water and get it all ready. So that way we can just like get straight to partying when they get down Friday night.
Okay.
And then 15 minutes after that, it was like, she tells me, I just checked the Airbnb and it's available Thursday night. Well, that pretty much means we're going down a day early. Like, what is it, woman?
I love Danielle like a sister. I've known her for 20 years.
There's no rhyme or reason. 20 years. Sometimes.
If she ever needed anything from me, I would be there for her. That being said, bitch be crazy sometimes. Yeah. I mean, she is
a redhead.
She is just like, she's out there sometimes.
Yeah.
I have I shouldn't say great deal of respect. It is a great deal of respect for the amount. I'm a very patient person when it comes to certain things. Mm-hmm. There are other things where I don't have that patience. That would be one of those cases where I would not have that patience. And so I have mad respect for your patience. You're like Job in the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like, damn, girl, you're killing me. You're wearing me the fuck out.
Last year, we got to about lunch, 3 to 4 hours in on the shootout.
It's hot.
It was warm.
Did it rain last year?
Yes.
Okay.
So a big storm popped up out of nowhere. And I don't say out of nowhere. Like, you could kind of see it coming on the radar.
Well, you got phones now.
Yeah.
It's like...
But it was like a tiny cell. And it's like, if it comes by, if it hits us, it's not going to rain for very long, right?
Yeah.
And we're already wet and playing in the water anyway. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah, it's the lightning.
But that cell exploded and got huge. And they, like, American Ethanol is the fastest boat out there. He had already done 220 miles an hour in 3/4 of a mile. And a couple other pretty fast boats had gone by. And then all of a sudden, here's a crack of lightning and some thunder and everything else. And so it's like, we got to go. Like, it's going to get shitty. Well, everybody left at the same time. So imagine 4,000 boats trying to untie from each other, turn around and leave.
We got
to
go, bitch.
Yeah. And the no-wake zone was non-existent at that point.
Oh, yeah. If safety's... in question, you just fly.
Yeah. But the problem is you couldn't really fly because there were so many boats, and these are big fucking boats.
Yeah. Like big cabin cruisers.
These big yachts get out there on the second row because you can stand up on top of the yacht and see over the first row, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was a mad dash to the closest shelter we could find. And we all, like, it was raining so bad, you had to put sunglasses on to drive the boat.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't open your eyes to see.
Yeah.
And so that pretty much scrapped it, and we just partied for the rest of the day. We went to the cave bar. There's a bar in a cave down there.
Oh, you told me about that.
Yeah, we went to the cave bar and hung out there.
I don't get it.
This year, our Airbnb is like 100 yards from the spectator area of the race course.
Oh, nice. Do they have a dock that you get to tie up to?
Oh, no, we'll still be out on the line.
No, I'm saying if something happens, you got to beat it back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. We got to slip and everything.
Gotcha.
But, we're right on the start line, and you don't want to be on the start line. You want to be on the big end.
Well, yeah, you want to be 3/4 of the way down.
Yeah, you don't want to watch the guy. You don't want to watch American Ethanol that's capable of breaking 200 miles an hour, and you see him pass by you at 60.
Yeah. Like, you also don't want to see it take off and land on your boat either.
No, you are 500 feet from the race course.
Dude, 500 feet at 200 miles an hour is like 1.5 seconds.
True, but it's all going down the race course, not sideways.
One Mississippi.
Yeah.
That's it.
They can't turn that far under power.
Okay.
They would flip if they tried to turn that.
Well, no
that
shit.
Sharp. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's the race is in a new location this year, so nobody really knows what to expect.
What mile mark is it at?
It is right by Dog Days, which is 15, 16 mile marker, something like that.
Oh, okay.
It's maybe
not all the way at one.
Yeah, maybe 17 or 18 mile marker. But this is on the race actually takes place right where the lake changes to the park land. So there's no houses.
That's
like they've literally
been getting complaints.
Well, no, like half of the it's more for the no wake side of things, because you look at Lake of the Ozarks, all the big wakes come from people traveling from house to house or house to bar or whatever.
Yeah.
You go to the state park side of the lake.
It's quiet.
And there's no bars, there's no houses, there's boats there.
Yeah.
But that's where a lot of fishing happens. They moved Party Cove to the state park area.
Oh, that's just what I want. I want to be able to go fishing and then be like, the hell?
Who doesn't want to fish and look at titties at the same time?
I like to keep my stuff separated. I like to focus on one thing at a time. I don't have ADHD.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see this year. The water should be insanely smooth with where it is this year, because essentially last year it's on the main channel, but for like 2 miles either side, it's a no wake zone.
Yeah.
Well, this is like they're blocking a whole section of the lake off. And so, and it's already no wake.
I bet a lot of that had to do with that boat flipping too.
Yeah, it could be.
Like it was choppy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Oh, well, it happens.
But yeah, the boat I want to see is not going to be there. So, well, they're going to be there at the party, but they're not going to be racing.
Doesn't fucking matter.
It's the one that double flipped way up high in the air.
It doesn't matter.
I know. I just wanted to see him fly by.
You just wanted to see him flip up again? Someone will crash. There'll be a crash. At least one.
Yeah, maybe.
There's always at least one. They don't take off like that all the time. But there's usually at least one crash.
Yeah.
A piece of something flies off. Boat sucks into the water.
That's what I'm more worried about than anything else, is a prop deciding to leave the chat.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Yeah.
Because they're surface drives on these boats.
Yeah, I know.
So those props leave the water.
Half out of the water, I know.
Yeah.
And then that thing, instead of going straight, is all of a sudden going left.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah, it would go right.
Some of them counter-rotate
their
props, so you never know. That's what I'm more worried about.
Mitch, what the fuck happened to your boat? Prop went through the hole when it sank on Lake of the Ozarks.
Yep.
You got boat insurance?
Oh, of course.
You know what I don't have on my boat? Boat insurance.
Oh. Yeah.
I had it on that little bitty shitty boat I had, and on this one I'm like...
Yeah, boat of mine...
Yeah. And you have a loan. You have to have it, probably.
Well, right, but like still, I would not go uninsured on a boat of that value.
Man, I should probably get insurance. Now I'm thinking about it. Dude, my fishing rods hit the bottom of the lake. I'm going to be depressed for a month.
Right. Right.
A month.
Yeah.
I'll just be crying at home.
Yeah.
You won't get anything out of me.
Well.
Be painful, buddy.
They'll just take up residence next to the guns at the bottom of the lake. Damn boating accidents.
Best buddies down there. Just hanging out. You want to get on to the show? Or
yeah,
what do you
let's
do here?
Let's get on to the show. So if you're newly listening to the show, we are rehashing the original core episodes of the show, where we go over the 6 core adversities that you need to overcome in order to successfully start your company. This is episode 207, which is a rehash of episode 7, Core Adversity Number 3. Core Adversity Number 3 is community involvement work, finding ways to get involved in your community. And so tune in here as we kind of rehash the original 7th episode. And if you've never heard the original 7th episode, then you're in for a treat, because this is one of the coolest things that I'm proud to put my name to when it comes to the plumbing company. So where community involvement work applies is people can't shop with you unless they know who you are. And one of the great ways to get people to know who you are is to get involved in your community. Some super low level ways to do that is like getting into a B&I group, or joining your chamber of commerce, or volunteering at your local
dog shelter,
of some kind, right? Anything like that. Those are some, verifiable, justifiable ways to do it. And I'm not knocking any of those, but there are ways where you can get more involved in your community that will not only deepen the impact you make on the community, but it'll actually reward your business in a couple of ways. And so I am of the belief that any business out there has a moral and ethical obligation to give back to their community in the largest capacity they can. And every company I've ever worked for, I've gotten that company into charity drives and all kinds of things. We just make a big fun thing out of it. We've done No Shave November contests. We've done all kinds of things.
Have you really?
Yeah.
You did a No Shave November contest?
Yeah, we've done that. We've done weight loss contests. You had to pay to enter the weight loss contest, and all the proceeds would go to charity. We've done canned food drives. We've done all kinds of stuff. And any business that I've been a manager of or been involved with directly, I've always found the same idea as like, let's find a way to give back to our community in the largest capacity we can. And so we do this thing in our plumbing company called Family First. And what Family First is we identify people in the community with necessary plumbing repair needs, but no way to afford them. And we put them on our schedule on the first business day of each month. And we take care of those plumbing repairs absolutely free of charge for those companies. And a couple of caveats with that is we don't provide fixtures. In other words, we have the recipients get a little bit of skin in the game. If you need a new water heater, you buy the water heater from Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever and have it there, and we'll put it in for free. We'll haul off the old one and everything.
You take care of all the small parts then too.
Yeah, we take care of all the small parts. Gotcha. So like if your kitchen faucet's broke and you have a new kitchen faucet sitting there when we arrive, we're going to put it in, new supply stops, everything, and it's going to work and it's going to drain when we leave. The reason we had to put the stipulation in there for making the recipients provide their own fixtures is if they don't have to provide anything, then it almost turns into like this extreme home makeover type of thing.
Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this?
And then it also, it kind of turns into, it's almost like a lottery drawing at that point. And this is not like, we're not surprising somebody with free plumbing repairs that could totally pay for them. It's, we're taking care of as many people in the community as we can as their plumbing needs arise. And if we don't have to pay for fixtures, then we can do a lot more work. In other words, if I have to buy the water heater, well, then that may hit the budget for what I can afford to give back to the community this month.
Yeah, instead of augering five drains to get people's sewer rolling.
Right, exactly. So if you provide the water heater, then I can not only put in your water heater, but I can also serve quite a few other people. Yeah. And so that's where we came up with the caveat for the fixtures.
Did you, before you were providing or making them provide their own fixtures, did you have a budget set that said, hey, or was it, we're just going to clear Monday and I have three guys and I know they can all do three calls, so that's our max in calls?
Yeah.
Like, what was the actual financials behind that.
There wasn't really a budget. It was more or less, let's never turn somebody away. And if we're light on calls, but we still had calls, then we're good. If we're heavy on calls, we do what we can to make sure that we get to all the calls. And without having the fixtures in there, our cost never goes too insane. I pay my guys labor for these.
Yeah.
My guys will fill out a complete full-blown invoice of everything that we did.
Yeah.
And then there's a discount code that they use to bring it down to zero.
Yeah, the sacrifice is you paying for their labor.
Yes.
The sacrifice. You're not making them.
I'm not making them donate
their time. Take up your cross.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But the sacrifice is also giving up the time, the profitable opportunity time. Right.
Yeah.
Because now I'm taking a guy out of a profitable position and putting him in a non-profitable position for the day. Right.
Yeah.
So how we go about doing this, getting these types of jobs is actually not as easy as you would think. You would think you tell people about this and the floodgates just open. And that's not really the case. There's enough scams and everything out there in the world that people are really hesitant to think that what you're offering is legit.
Yeah, they think you have an ulterior motive.
Yep.
You know.
But also there's two other reasons that it's hard. One is some people that need this kind of resource aren't eligible for this kind of resource. And what I mean by that is you may be down in your luck and destitute and have no money and all of this stuff, but you rent. And if you rent, you can't be a recipient of the program because that's your landlord's job to fix that stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And so
and if he's not, she's not, whoever, like you got bigger fish to fry.
That's a whole different problem.
Yeah. That's
right.
A whole nother problem.
And so some people aren't eligible for it. And so a lot of the times, you know, when we first started this whole thing out, we started trying to partner with churches, thinking churches are always knowing where people are in need and all this stuff. But again, all of these people, a lot of times it was a food need or something like that. And then the more they would talk to them and everything else, they realized they rent and
nothing.
They don't need a plumber.
Yeah.
And so, you know, finding these people is a little bit difficult, but we find them all the time. We've never done a month without Family First. We had one month where we didn't have any calls to run. And so I called up the elementary school that my kids went to at the time, and I asked them some questions about like the outstanding lunch balances and the people that were overdue on their little lunch accounts, all the kids.
Yeah.
And they gave me a number, and it was like $1,500. And school had only been in session for like 3 weeks or something like
God,
that.
It was already $1,500.
And it was already $1,500 in overdue balances. And they were like, you know, anything you could do to contribute, because I had already told them why I'm asking and everything.
Yeah.
And they were like, anything you could do, we'd be appreciative of it. And I'm like, I'll just pay it all off. And so we just wrote them a check and paid all the outstanding lunch balances off.
And then 3 weeks later, it was $1,500.
And then, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure some of it was carryover from the previous year.
That's probably true.
As it kind of follows your student accounts. But the dynamics of how we do this, we set aside the first business day of the month, not the last. We call the program Family First. There's a lot of innuendo there, and it's for very good reason. Most people think of charitable work at the end of a year, if they've had a good year, if they have the time, if the need comes across, if the opportunity presents itself, you know, all of these kinds of things. And the problem is, if you put that many ifs in front of it, you're never going to do it.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to do this more often than once a year. I wanted to do it once a month. And I knew, like, humans are resilient, and we have a way of bouncing back. But we also have a way of not really fully understanding how much we have left in the tank, right?
Yeah.
Picture, like, weightlifting in the gym. Can you do another rep? Can you reach down to that dark place in your soul and in your mind and muster the courage to get that one more rep? Or are you allowing your brain to tell you, nope, that's it, you're done?
It's the profit first method too.
Right.
You know, if I put my profit aside first and then the bills come at the end of the month, I'm going to figure out a way to pay those bills.
Right.
And we just talked about this a few episodes ago.
Yeah. And so exactly the same, you know, along the same line of thinking as profit first, we did Family First.
Yeah.
And it's, we take, like, we view our community as family, and family comes first. And so, you know, we're going to take care of our family first. And if that makes us start out the month in a financial hole, well, we're really resilient. We're really good about digging out of holes. But the problem is, if you put it at the end of the month, well, then you start eyeballing all that profit, and it takes a whole different level of discipline to then choose to spend it back on the community.
Yeah, it's hard not to look at that 20 G's and be like, hey, that's mine.
Right.
That's my profit for the month.
Right.
So the only person that's making a sacrifice here is me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so we put it out on the first business day of the month. It's not the first of the month, because the first of the month might be
a Wednesday,
Saturday,
a Thursday, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's a Saturday or Sunday, you know, we're not going to bring guys out on the weekends and do this free stuff.
No, of course not.
And it doesn't always happen on the first either. Sometimes we'll get a need. If it's a non-urgent need, then we make them wait till the first. But sometimes we'll get a need that's urgent and can't wait. And so we call an audible and we take care of somebody mid-month. It just kind of depends.
Yeah.
But mechanically, how we do it is we ask that the people email in their request to receive help from the Family First program. It's not an official, there's no application. There's no, you know, you don't have to prove to us that you don't have any money. You don't have to convince us with your sob story or anything. We take it at surface level that if you're asking for the assistance, we assume you need it.
Yeah.
And we aren't an official charity either. This is all just run through the company, no charity. To a lot of people thinking you can write this off, you can't. Because you pay tax on profit. I'm not making a charitable donation because there is no charity tied to this. And so I'm literally just giving up profit. For a long time, I thought I could start a charity and then have the business donate money to the charity and write it off, and then let the charity spend the money back with the business to pay for the repairs. But then I'm back into a profitable scenario and all of that.
But it is a tax write-off. It's just not a write-off. You're paying your guys to do the work. That's a business expense, okay? So you're not going to be paying taxes on the... Like, that is lowering your tax liability.
Yes.
Your parts and material and all that stuff, those are expenses.
Yeah.
So whatever they do, it's lowering your tax liability because you bought more parts and equipment or whatever else.
Yeah, it definitely lowers the taxable income, but not in a write-off fashion.
No.
You know, a write-off fashion is like I bought a vehicle and the IRS wants me to depreciate it over 5 years and I choose to write the whole thing off in 1 year. That's a write-off, right? This just lowers my tax liability because it reduces the amount of profit we make.
Yeah.
But...
Which is a catch-22 because we just want to make profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
But it is.
But being in the home service industry, if you can agree with the idea that every business has a moral and ethical obligation to give back to their community in the largest capacity they can, then being in a home service business makes it really easy to do that. Because I just do the same craft that we do day in and day out, I do it for free.
Right? Yeah.
But you might be in a business where you can't really do it for free. I got a buddy of mine that sells permanent holiday lighting. You're not going to go do permanent holiday lights for free on somebody's house, typically. So, but you may offer to go string up some temporary Christmas lights for free, give somebody some Christmas joy, right?
Yeah, maybe a single mom whose kid is in the hospital and she doesn't have time to decorate the house and this and that. So you want to, you know, be a strong pillar in your community, go out there, put up lights, and maybe make that family's Christmas.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
there's always what's interesting to me. And, you know, we've had TradeWinds long enough now. There are always ways to give back and be involved in your community.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be the Family First program. I will say this. A lot of guys that have come through TradeWinds have completely robbed and duplicated the Family First program. And what do we tell them? Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Keep doing it. If you're listening to this show and you're not in TradeWinds, but you still want to do the Family First program, rob and duplicate.
Yeah, listen up.
Do it.
Figure out how we do it.
Yeah, and it's not complicated. We don't care. Mitch doesn't care. You know, the more, and I think especially more these, I feel like I am so old when I say these days. You know what I mean? These days, like, it's tough out there, you know? Like, this can really make a difference in your community. We talk about all the time that, you know, people that want big government are looking up to the government and this and that and blah, blah, blah. You know, real change happens in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
It happens in your community.
Yep.
Be part of the change. Be part of the reason that, you know, you've helped someone have a hot shower.
Right.
You know, for the first time in 2 months because they couldn't afford that hot water heater.
Right.
You know, I mean, make a change on a local level.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to affect change nationally until you can affect change locally. And this is a great way to do that. And it's also, it's one of those things where, like, as a business owner, you're wearing multiple hats. This is one where you truly have to envision taking your profitability hat off and putting your charitable hat on. Because you don't want to wear them both. Because then that's going to make you short the recipient of the charitable side of things. You're going to short them quite a bit because you're too worried about profit.
Yeah, it's a contradiction.
Yes, yes. In the original episode, we referred to it as a dichotomy, and you guys challenged me on if I knew what dichotomy even meant.
What does dichotomy mean, Mitch?
It means two opposing things can both be true at the same time. So,
I watched that.
That's kind of like the dichotomy of soldiers at war. They want peace, but they'll kill you too. You know what I mean?
That's a dark analogy, but yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a weird left turn, but I like it.
It's a very good analogy. They actually talk about it in Full Metal Jacket. Great movie.
Haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah.
It is a good movie.
They talk about it in the second half. Full Metal Jacket's great movie, kind of broke up in two halves.
Yeah, it's a two-part movie.
Yeah. Well, it's one part, but there's just a very obvious scene change in the middle of it.
Yes.
And they talk about this in the second half, the dichotomy of war. But, we don't ever want to turn anybody away, but we focus everybody on that first day of the month when we do this.
Yeah.
And
well, and use it to back up just a second of about taking off the profitability hat and putting on the mm-hmm. community hat. I think I might've said this in the first version of this show. I don't remember, but it is marketing. Like, this will generate calls mm-hmm. that will in turn make money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's, you're not doing it for that purpose, and that is the selfish way to look at it.
Right.
But that is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that what goes around comes around, you know, really comes into play.
Right.
When you make personal sacrifice, regardless of how or what, it will almost always come around. I'm not a karma guy. I've said that a bunch of times. But it's amazing how often when you do good for someone else, good comes back around.
Right.
Like, I think in the episode you had said initially, a ton of your calls came from people that didn't need the work but liked what you were doing
mm-hmm.
and then chose to use you just because of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not... We want to say we're losing money when we do things like this, and we are. We're making a self-sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
but what you're going to get in return is 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times, 10-fold that.
Right.
Almost every time.
Right.
You know, and that's why when you put that business hat back on, that's just another reason to do it. That's not the initial reason. That's not the why, but that's another reason
yep.
to be doing it.
Yeah. It's the additional paid for work that you get and the additional clients that you get are a byproduct of doing the program like what we do
yes.
effectively. And so essentially, how does this whole thing work? Well, nobody knows about it. And if nobody knows about you, they can't buy from you, right? Nobody knows about this program. And if nobody knows about the program, then they can't take advantage of the program. And so we have to publicize it. But you got to be a little careful when you're publicizing this kind of stuff because you don't want to come off like you're bragging that you do charity work, right? And so what we would do is we would make social media posts that on like local community pages that would say like, and these are from my personal profile. They're not from the business. And they would say like, hey, I'm Mitch. I own Smedley Plumbing here in town. And we do this really cool thing called Family First, where we find people in the community with necessary plumbing repair needs. And we put them on our schedule on the first day of the month. If you know of anybody, If you or anybody you know would benefit from this cool program, have them email us at familyfirst@callsmedley.com. And we would always request that they email in. A lot of places may say, you know, reply X and we'll get you in or whatever. Well, now you're forcing somebody to publicly admit they need the assistance.
Yeah, right? You don't want that.
And you don't want that.
People are proud.
And so we ask that they, you know, email in. And then they email in and they'll say, yeah, it's me or it's my mom or my aunt or whatever, my neighbor, my friend. And we take their word for it. We don't challenge them. We don't question them. We don't, you know, anything. And we go out there and do the work. And I can only think of maybe 5 times in 5 years. Keep in mind, we've done this now 60 times or more.
Yeah.
But I can think of maybe 5 times in 5 years where we probably got burned. Like some of those 5, I know we got burned or taken advantage of.
I was going to say not burned, but just they didn't really need it.
Yeah. Like you show up, the bushes are well kept. The flowers are new. The yard looks amazing.
The Mercedes is washed.
Yes. They have 2 very nice cars in the driveway. You're kind of questioning, do you really need this assistance or not, right?
I mean, they may need it because they're broke, but it's because they have bad spending habits and they're dipshits.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And so, you know, that stuff is going to happen, but you just got to take it and roll with it. Like, that's not you doing anything bad. You were doing the right thing by putting the good faith effort out there. Somebody else did bad by taking advantage of it, right?
Yeah.
And I don't feel like everyone's going to be different. I don't feel that's my place to call you out on that. You know, there's been
society will do it.
Yeah. We've had one customer that became like a chronic abuser of the program, and we did have to let them know that, hey, everything from here on out is going to be chargeable.
Don't call us.
We had somebody else that mistakenly thought it was like an extreme home makeover thing. And I kind of picked up, like, they were thinking like a bathroom remodel and all this.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, hey, I just want to clarify, like, do you know what this program is? Yeah, it's free plumbing work. And I'm like, well, it's designed for people in the community that, you know, are down on their luck and don't have the money to afford it. And like, we want to get them back into a safe, healthy, sanitary condition. And the husband and wife look at each other and they're like, oh, that's not us. No, we can totally afford this. Like,
yeah,
we thought we like won something. And I'm like, no. And this is just our way of getting
back. Take away her phone, bro.
Yeah. and they were super apologetic and everything. Like they cut it off. I didn't even have to say like, you know, no. But we've had other people that for sure, definitely probably didn't need it. And definitely probably didn't need it. But we went ahead and did it anyway because we are not on the hook for too much. So the other part with this, and this is really important, how I came up with this, is if you've ever worked at a home service business that was sales focused, then you'll know that your manager is looking at every sales interaction you have.
Yeah.
And
it's sharks in the water.
Yeah. I've been at those places where you go to a house and the customer can barely afford your service charge. They definitely cannot afford the repair. And maybe the repair they need is only $200.
Yeah.
But we spend 30 minutes trying to sell them a $200 repair. And maybe the repair would only take 15 minutes to do. But they can't afford it. And so here we are trying to get them to pay for something that they physically don't have the money for and they don't have the credit for and everything else.
Yeah.
So then you leave there and then you got to deal with your boss. Your boss is breathing down your neck. Why didn't you make a sale? Oh, everyone says they don't have the money. And, you know, all the typical bad sales manager bullshit.
That's how those guys get stabbed too.
Yeah. But then
just saying.
You do all of that and now you've tied up an hour of the company's time for something that could have been fixed in 15 minutes and you've moved on. Right. And then the managers look at these destitute people like they're a burden to the business. How do these people get on our schedule late? They should know we're more expensive than that. You know, oh my gosh, why would you even call in if you can only afford the trip charge and, you know, all this stuff. And so I kind of came out of all of that like, hey, you can't get rid of ultra low income people calling your business for service. Like, you can't make that go away.
No, it's always going
to
be there.
And so rather than allowing it to come in random and then creating bad culture between the sales manager and the service tech, how about we flip this whole thing around and we plan on it coming in, we funnel it all to one day of the month, and then it's great culture between the sales manager and the service tech because now the service tech's doing free work without getting the service manager breathing down his neck. and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Customer's happy, service manager's happy, service tech's happy. It's a win all the way around. And so that's essentially what created the idea to do all this. And so we've done it for, like I say, every month for 5 years. And to get kind of back to where you were at with things, we didn't intend on it being this way, but it turned into quite a neat branding opportunity for our company.
Yeah.
You know, branding is the MO of what your company is, right? So in other words, if I said Neiman Marcus, you would think high-end clothing.
Yeah.
Right? That's their brand.
Yeah.
If I said Nike, you would think overpriced tennis shoes and athletic clothing.
Yes.
Right? That's their brand. That's who they are. If I said Adidas, you think soccer. They've branded themselves very well on the side. I mean, they do other things too, but
I love Adidas shoes. They fit me the best. They're super comfortable. I love them.
And so establishing this type of behavior, especially when you've done it every day or every month, you know, for so long, it just becomes that's your brand. That's who you are.
Yeah.
And so now there'll actually be people that post on these community groups and they'll say, hey, I need some help. I got these plumbing repairs I need done and I don't have any money. So, and it's not like who's the cheapest and all of this stuff.
It's I'm broke and I need this done.
They're reaching out looking for a handout, right? And I don't ever like handouts, but I do like hand ups. I'll give you a hand up, but I don't necessarily get your mind out of the
game. Dude, I didn't say anything.
I'll give you a hand up, but I don't like giving you a handout because the handout reinforces just come to me the next time you need help. The hand up is like, I got you on this one, but you got to get yourself on the next one kind of thing.
Yeah, let's get your shit together, dog.
Right. And so we'll get tagged in those deals. Like people
all the time.
Now it's just the brand. It's just, oh, Smedley does that. Call Smedley. They have a program just for that.
Yeah.
The other perks of this is there are people in the community that are searching for doers of good within their community, especially businesses that do good.
Yeah.
And so we have so many customers that came into our ecosystem because they heard about what we do in the community. And the moment they heard about it, they put a little note in their brain that said, if I ever need plumbing, I'm calling Smedley. And so we'll ask them how they heard about us. And they're like, oh, I've just heard all the wonderful things you do in the community. And so whenever it came time for me to get a plumbing repair, I knew who I was supporting.
Yeah.
Right. And they're not looking for the free thing. If they got to give their money somewhere, they might as well give it to the company that's
giving
supporting
back.
The community, right? The other way that this helps is, you know, Google reviews are very important, always have been. I don't know if they always will be, but they still are right now. And these are great Google review opportunities. This person can't afford to pay your bill, but they can afford to leave you a 5-star Google review. And so, like, you're getting some sort of payment from that, right?
Yeah.
And the least, I mean, if I'm doing all this work for free, the least you could do is give me a 5-star review.
Yeah, even if I have to type it for you right here in front of me.
Right. Right.
I'll do it.
And the final way this helps is the person that received your benefit from your program, you've now turned that person into the biggest cheerleader and biggest promoter of your company in existence. You know, I was referencing somebody was needing free work and we get tagged, right?
Yeah.
Well, literally like 2 days ago, somebody posted in the Independence community page, which is like 10 miles from here. Somebody posted in the Independence community page that they needed plumbing work and they have zero money. They're on state assistance. They have no money, right? And so they post in the group and one of our Family First recipients from the first year we were in business tagged us in it. And it's this wonderful glowing thing. Oh my gosh, call Smedley Plumbing. They're amazing. They have this program that'll get you taken care of. They're just all around great people and all this. And it's like, yeah, that's the brand image that we want out there. Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay a dime for it other than donating my time on one day a month.
Yeah.
And so you'll find that doing this not only fulfills your obligation as a business owner to give back to your community in the largest capacity you can. But if you do it correctly, and if you do a good enough job of taking off the profitability hat and putting on the charitable hat and you completely separate the two, then everyone understands your charitable initiative, your drive to give back to the community, and they wholeheartedly believe that you're a good person. And so the final way this helps in business, we actually have it as a part of our sales process that we mention it to all of our customers. Hey, we do this thing. If you or anybody you know would benefit from it, keep it in mind, right?
Yeah.
Well, now I take a customer. Let's say I'm at your house. You and I have never met before. You've never used our company before. And I just told you that we give back to the community at a very direct and very large capacity. Well, now if that price for the repair is a little higher than you were expecting, you're probably still okay with it because at least they're giving back to the community, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit different than feeling like you're overpaying for a repair just to pad the owner's pocket.
No, they feel like they are in turn like helping the community as well.
Exactly.
You know, and to your point before we move on, or before you moved on, I'm sorry. Say that person gets on their feet and they're successful.
Yeah.
They're your customer for life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Say that person ends up owning an apartment complex somewhere. Like, you never know how far that one little act of charity can go.
It's the butterfly effect.
It is the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
You know, we have, you and I both know business owners and some of them that are in our group. They don't do the program like you do, but they will, you know, they'll volunteer at a soup kitchen or the VFW, and they'll pay their employees to go there with them and do it, and they will wear their swag.
Yep.
You know, they'll wear their uniform.
Yep.
That's the same thing. It doesn't have to be scheduling and going to someone's house and, you know, giving work away for free. It can be anything that's community involvement that plants that seed into everyone's head that's involved with whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they put you on a platform inside of your community and always, like what you were saying about branding, always will remember you.
Yes.
You're planting that seed. That's what you're doing more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, before we get on to other ways that you can do this, let me pimp out some Field Pulse stuff here. Field Pulse is the service management software for your field service business. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company looking to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. Advanced features for your CRM, for your estimates and your invoices, for scheduling and dispatching, for good, better, best proposals, for maintenance plans, price books, you name it. And yes, the Tradewinds price book uploads into Field Pulse. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with softwares you're already using, like QuickBooks Online, QuickBooks Desktop, all of those things. So you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you work. By simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase profitability. It's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned a 4.8 star rating across nearly 600 reviews. So to learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's field, P-U-L-S-E.com. So,
almost forgot about that.
Yeah.
New stuff. I love it.
So other ways that you can give back. Let's say that you're in an industry that you can't donate your direct service to the community. Let's say you do mortgages. You're not going to go donate a mortgage to somebody.
What would you do if you were?
In those cases, you just got to stroke a big check.
Everyone likes getting a big check, man.
Yeah. but you don't want to, like, I'm not going to tell you how to do your charitable stuff. There's a funny line. I used to post all these kinds of posts about today we took care of this customer. Today we took care of this customer. Today we took care of this customer. And, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where it felt like I was bragging about our charitable goods. And so I had to kind of retool the stories that I was writing, and I had to make it come off as more of like inspiring other businesses to do this rather than the whole, like, look at me, do good kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, with doing all of that, you do get people that question you and ask, like, how can I do something like that and everything else? Some of your trades businesses might not be allowed. You might not be able to do that, right? For instance, if you're a tile guy, tile's not a tile's kind of a luxury, right? It's not a necessity.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to go like do tile for free for somebody. However, you could call Habitat for Humanity and ask if there's a bathroom that they're remodeling or building that you could tile.
Yeah.
Right. You can get into some avenues like that. The way that I would look at it is like the last option, the last resort is writing a check ambiguously, like blindly writing a check to a charity.
Well, it's the most impersonal.
Correct.
Even though sometimes it's the most sacrificial. But inside of the Habitat for Humanity or the work you're doing where you're creating that like spider web, those relationships that you're building, mm-hmm. looking someone in the eye, shaking their hand, that type of connection lasts a lot longer and is more memorable than stroking a check.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you, let's say you are in a position where you can't provide your direct services and all you can do is write a check, try to write a check plus. In other words, write the check, but then also have your team volunteer at the thing, whatever their thing is, right?
Yeah.
Your Chamber of Commerce is actually a charitable thing. And so a lot of times you can donate your time to the Chamber of Commerce. Sometimes you might be manning a booth at a street fair for a charity. You know, there's a lot of ways where you can donate with your time, talents first, time and talents first before you donate with your financial resources.
Yeah.
So, but just know that, like, challenge yourself a little bit. And if you think that all you can do is write the check, pause and try to find other ways to give back.
Yeah. If you can't write the check.
Yeah. If you,
if you like, can't write the check.
I got a buddy of mine that owns a mortgage company, and like he's so busy with mortgages and everything else, like there's no way.
Yeah. Well, it's different. He may not have, even if he's a broker, his team may not be that big.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's hard to get volunteer things that they can even go to.
Yeah.
You know?
And so he has like a budgeted amount every month where he's going to donate to a charity. And he still puts a really cool spin on it where he involves his customers and he's asking them like, hey, here are the five to choose from this month. Vote on them. And whoever gets voted the most gets $1,000 check.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case may be. And so that gets the community involved. And that also gets the community helping nominate other charities that you could do with that. Blue Springs Ford, the Ford dealer here in town, they used to do a thing where every month they would donate $100 from every car sold to a charity. And you could nominate charities to become eligible for the selection list.
Mm.
And then they would pick like three or five each month. And then they would post like, here's the three that we're choosing from this month. And you'd see like your charity up there. And then now you're sharing their stuff, trying to get more people to vote for you and all this. And so there's ways where you can maximize it and get extra visibility out of it. But keep in mind, the root purpose of it all is to be a business that's giving back in your community. When I initially started this, I approached it from the standpoint of I want to make such a positive impact in the community that something gets named after the company someday, or the initiative, right? This is the Family First Park, or they put a new road in and this is Family First Parkway.
You usually got to write a check for
Right. You usually got to write a check. A pretty big check for that.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to, like, that was the goal, whether it was the wrong goal or not, it was still like, I want to have that big of an impact to where,
yeah, it was the point of the goal, not necessarily the goal itself.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, to say I want a street named after me seems kind of selfish, but to say I want a street named after my company or my initiative that I started because it impacted that many people, that's noble.
Yeah.
So
agreed.
But yeah, as you guys are, you know, mulling around ideas and everything else for what you want to do, feel free to find us on social media. Our emails are actually listed in the description of the show. You can email us questions about like, how do we do this or how do we do that? You can absolutely use the name Family First. It's not copyrighted. It's not exclusively hashtagged though. The Family First hashtag is pretty well used for a lot of different reasons. And back when we did this show originally, we came up with a very unique hashtag that had never been used before. And that hashtag was Find the Need, Fill the Void. And so that's another cool way to organize your social media posts about your community initiative work, is you can throw that hashtag in there. Well, then you can go to social media platforms and search that hashtag and find other people that have done it. I'm going to do it right now, actually.
Right now.
Right
today.
We are going to Instagram. I'm going to go to Instagram first.
I'm going to Instagram. That, I don't know if I've ever heard it sound like it was being said by such an old man in my life. We're going to Instagram today. We're going to go on the Insta-webagramma. Not going to work here anymore.
Not going to work here anymore anyway, huh? Okay, so here we are as a part of our... So here's a guy that does alarms, Kyle Harris. He's actually local here to Kansas City. As a part of our community involvement work, we are giving away one remote start and alarm today. We offer this program to others in need who may... have had their vehicle stolen or broken into. We want to give them the peace of mind of security for their vehicle.
Hey, that's you.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of funny how that works, right? So here's another one where Kyle Harris did it. Here's one where RES Plumbing Woodbridge did a pay it forward day, and they hashtagged it, find the need, fill the void. Diaz Plumbing, our buddy George Diaz. He's got his own personal hashtag too, the Diaz Difference.
Yep.
And then, of course, there's a whole host of them from mine. Now let's go to Facebook and see. And of course, I'm not reading them all, but I'm reading a lot of them. Hashtag.
Should have made you screen record this. I could have put it up.
Need fill void.
Nothing. I'm just kidding. No, yeah. I don't know.
Hometown Plumbing Services. Randy Pratt, Pratt Plumbing Services.
Hometown. That's not Colton, is it?
It is Colton.
Colton Marlette.
Good dude. Fay Plumbing Services. Another one from Hometown. Redemption Plumbing. Tennessee's Choice Plumbing.
T Rizzle, get out of here.
S&S Plumbing System. So obviously this whole thing, Elite Performance Plumbing, this whole thing falls on plumbers a little bit more than most, just because I'm in the plumbing space and I had a plumbing business, and Dave is less involved on social media, or at least he used to be.
I've come a long way, but yeah, I want to stab people on social media, so I try to stay off as much as possible.
Yeah, but feel free to use that hashtag when you're doing this, because it's pretty cool. If you ever see that hashtag being used, this is the only place it's ever used, and so you know that that business listens to the show, but also you know that they're doing what they can to take care of their community. So makes it kind of a fun way to recap all of that. So I'm gonna wrap this thing up by saying we've been in business 5 years, 5 years in like 2 weeks. And I pulled a report this morning. We have crested over $100,000 in free plumbing work given back to the community absolutely free of charge. So that's
good on you, dog.
That's a lot. But it means even more to the people than it does to the business. The people that received that, right? We've got a lot of stories. If you want some cool stories, go back and listen to the original episode 7, and you'll get to hear some cool stories about...
There's a couple in there, yeah.
Yeah, about people that we've taken care of that didn't have water or hot water or running drains for many years before we stepped in and took care of the problem. So... until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.